Hello and welcome to your Friday postgame. I'm your host, Malcolm Fleschner. It's the Three Amigos, huh?
Hola.
Back together. I know you've missed us. Dave Kohler, of course. Steve-O, si. Host of Aggressive si. Progressives.
Si.
Dave Kohler, former host of Reporting In. We were talking about how he was replaced recently. Not that recently, but the...
Is the show still being made?
The show is still being produced, and the viewership is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
From one dozen when you did it to upwards of 24 now. So, which is actually more than a proud 19, so...
24.
Thank you. So that was a pretty great Friday power panel we had this week. I was very impressed, and it was powerful and impressive. And I say this because we record on Thursday, so I don't know what happened on the Friday power panel. I'm sure it was great, but that's why we don't talk about whatever has happened in the past 24 hours, because we're recording this on Thursday. And we have a lot to get to, but I wanted to let you know that I have been reading your comments. And there's been a criticism, I know, of the fact that we never get to totally true or totally bullshit with Steve-O and Malcolm Fleschner and Dave Kohler. And so this time, I'm going to prioritize that we get to that and make sure we at least do
Let's
a couple.
Let's start with it. Let's do it right now.
No.
All right,
so you're
not going to do that. We don't have Dave's Graves today, and I'm not. But what I'm cutting, not, but I'm pushing to the back, is an extensive discussion of today's date and why we have this image behind us. Do you know what do you think this image is of, Dave?
I think it's like some French village to honor the Tour de France.
You're guessing France, and Steve, you guessed.
I'm guessing somewhere in Scandinavia.
You're correct. It is Lillehammer, in Norway.
Yes,
and. The reason is that today, or July 21st, is the 45th anniversary of an event that took place in Lillehammer that I had never heard about. But when I read about it, it was pretty incredible story. And so I'm going to share it with you guys at the end of the show if we have time. So yeah, it's a tease.
It's see? A massive tease.
There you go, massive tease. So the other thing is one of the other comments that we frequently see on the you know.
Wait, do I get a point for getting Scandinavia when he gets France? It's like a half point.
Well, I did. I already told you that it wasn't the United States or Canada, and helped you narrow it down a little bit. So yeah, you get a point.
Good
yes.
for you.
Gold yes. star for you, Steve. So. A lot of the comments relate to the fact that, hey, judging by all the people commenting, there must be more than 19. And this is a fundamental misunderstanding that just because there are, if you're new, great, we welcome you. But that doesn't mean we didn't lose somebody else. It usually stays right around 19. And also, the comments, you can't count the number of comments from different people because I use a lot of sock puppet accounts to puff up, you know, and say, oh, where's Malcolm this week? I miss Malcolm, he was great. You know, I don't like that Dave. Dave is boring, Steve sucks. All those comments are mostly me and my sock puppets. So,
19. I have a confession to make. I'm Arizona.
Are you? That'd be funny if you were. The great thing is that you know it's not true because there's no way Steve. I mean, I know you do sometimes comment. You do respond sometimes.
Yes.
But there's no way you have the time to
create a false account.
That you would waste
your
time on
that. Do you guys work for the 76ers or something?
Ooh, that's right. A little obscure, semi-obscure reference to the former general manager or who got the
former GM.
GM who got fired for sock puppet accounts. Anyway, we're going to start with Weekly World News because I know you love it and. The way Weekly World News works, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is I cull stories from around the globe and I turn them into a quiz for Dave and Steve, and they compete to see who gets the most right. It's a multiple choice questions that shouldn't be, you know, they don't have to guess randomly, but they also play for TYT fans. And who are Steve and Dave playing for this week, Irma? So Dave will be playing for Blue Female Texan, and Steve is playing for Paoli, not sure how you pronounce it, but that's who you folks are, and the winner, whoever Steve or Dave, whoever wins, the person they're playing for, they will receive the opportunity to solicit a free T-shirt.
Right.
And how do they get that? Were they?
I don't even
support at TYT.
Has anyone actually gotten their T-shirt?
I think people have gotten T-shirts, haven't they?
I
think people
have
commented saying that they got their T-shirts.
Oh,
I hope you did because you deserve them. And if it's a tie, you both win. So both Blue Angel, Blue Female Texan, and Paoli both would win T-shirts if it's a tie. So that's what we really should be rooting for. But let's go to the opening graphic because everybody loves it so much. Weekly World News. All right, spanning the globe, we go to our first country, which is what? Iraq. And what has been going on in Iraq? That's the question, the first question today. There's Iraq. We all know where it is. We should by now anyway. This past week, many areas in Iraq have experienced protests that began over what? Was it A, lack of basic services like water and electricity? B, drastic reductions in pension disbursements? C, new austerity measures targeting subsidies for cooking oil, rice, and other staples? Or D, Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi saying there are good people on both sides in the fight against ISIS?
Is al-Abadi still the Prime Minister?
He is.
What, didn't they just have elections?
The elections have taken place, but he has not been removed from office yet. But anyway. That somebody's staying on top of it. But what is the? These are separate issues, Dave. You got to focus. You have your answers at home. Please play along at home. We appreciate that you play along at home. And also, even if you're listening to the podcast, I will read off all the answers and the correct answer. I'll try to remember because I know other people have problems with that. Okay, we have an answer of A from Steve and an answer of B from Dave. So we're already starting off with a little controversy. The correct answer is A, lack of basic services like water and electricity.
What a surprise.
So one for Steve and none for Dave. So this story... I found really interesting, so I may go a little longer than usual.
I heard a whole radio story about this, so I knew the answer.
That is what I consider, for the purposes of this show, cheating.
It's cheating. Like, having knowledge is cheating. Yeah. Like, we want to keep people as ignorant as possible and make wild guesses. That's what we want.
That's what I want.
That's what you want.
Because you're going to make me go further and further afield and not get... No, that's the point, is that if you know it, you should get a credit for it. So you know it. That's good. So... This is a real story that I'm sorry. I think TYT should be covering, and
yes,
we should be getting
crazy.
More coverage. But there are huge protests going on in. They started in Basra and they've spread. So the protests are against high unemployment and a lack of basic services in the country's southern provinces. And now the protests have spread to the capital. Soldiers have been sent, and people have been killed. Soldiers have been injured. Demonstrators, especially around Basra, which is the oil-rich region in the south, have been demonstrating at the oil facilities, and there's threats that they may try to take them over. And also the commodities port of Mukasar, which is in Basra there, which is a very important port. And then this I thought was really interesting. They've cut off internet access in the capital of Baghdad. No internet access in Baghdad, which, can you imagine if that were to happen anywhere in the... I mean, admittedly, when you don't have electricity, cutting off internet access is not that big a deal, but it's a pretty serious step. So we can go to the first text graphic, Irma, please. Hundreds of Iraqi protesters stormed government buildings in the south of the country on Friday and stormed Najaf International Airport, demanding better services, job opportunities, and an end to alleged Iranian interference. That's another aspect of the story, is that they're also complaining about corruption and the poor governance. The country is very poorly run, not surprisingly. So protesters attacked and set fire to office buildings used by the ruling party, the Dawah party. We go to the next text. Oh, there are some protesters. There are some images of the protesters, and they're pretty serious. And the next text graphic, please, Irma. Rampant electricity cuts have exacerbated a sweltering heat wave, with Basra seeing temperatures exceed 48 degrees Celsius in recent days. That's 118 Fahrenheit, by the way. Oh. The region is home to the oil fields that account for the vast majority of the more than 3 million barrels of oil Iraq exports every day. Yet it remains underdeveloped and has suffered from chronic power outages, poor water quality, and uncollected waste. And this has been true since the American invasion, and even before because of sanctions. So the people of Basra, they say the one... gentleman was quoted in the article saying that they are just asking for what is rightfully theirs. The government should provide clean water, job opportunities, electricity, and basic infrastructure, and there needs to be some responsibility by the government. But what Dave pointed out is that Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, the supreme spiritual leader of the Shia Muslims in Iraq, has expressed his solidarity with the protesters. But meanwhile, Muqtada al-Sadr, let's go to the next text graphic. The oil sector accounts for 89% of the state budget and 99% of Iraq's export revenues, but only 1% of jobs. I mean, I'm putting it in bold. That's pretty shocking. 89% of the state budget, but 1% of jobs, as the majority of posts are filled by foreigners. Iraq is currently in political limbo as the country looks to form a new government after Shia leader Muqtada al-Sadr's surprise poll win saw longtime political figures pushed out by voters seeking change in the country. So, as you may know, Iran has become a major player in Iraqi politics since the U.S. invasion, and we're seeing the fruits of that, which were nobody could have anticipated, but it's happening.
How could anyone have known?
So this is
that by destabilizing Iraq, their neighboring Iran might have more influence.
Yeah, we'd move in to fill that vacuum. It's
no
shocking.
Way.
Nobody. It's crazy. Boom. All right. Now this is where it really gets interesting. So. Next text, grab it. Saad Jawal, a professor of political science at the London School of Economics, said the unrest was the result of what happened in Iraq since 2003. What happened in 2003? U.S. invasion. It's an accumulation of protests about bad services, corruption, unemployment, lack of services and electricity. All these things have been going on for a long time, and the people have been suffering from them, he told Al Jazeera from the UK capital, noting that the protests against the Shia-led government are taking place in Iraq's Shia provinces. Next. Now, here's the really interesting part. Next one, please. Last one. Jawad said al-Abadi is weak politically, he's the prime minister, casting doubt over his ability to find a solution. So he can't even solve this problem even if he wants to. And stressed Tehran's major role in the crisis in the aftermath of the U.S. withdrawal from the nuclear deal and the threat of biting sanctions. And that's on Iran. Since Iran was put in a corner economically, they are cutting all electricity supplies and water supplies to Iraq, which were normally going smoothly, and this is also creating a problem for Iraq, he said. I think the Iranians want to tell to the Americans that if you create problems to us somewhere else, we can combat you everywhere. Syria, Iraq, the Gulf, whatever we can do. So this is the ripple effect of Donald Trump pulling out of the Iran deal is further destabilization in Iraq because, unbeknownst to me, Iran apparently supplies a lot of the electricity to southern Iraq, and they're going to squeeze, they're going to cause more strife in Iraq, and that is going to have ripple effects in Syria. There's this notion that Iran is sort of under our thumb, and if we want to really squeeze them, then we can. But it's not like they don't have anything else, any other recourse besides, military attacks on the United States, which would be crazy, of course, or our installations or what have you. So that's what's going on in Iraq, and it'll be really interesting to see what happens. But we could see basically a complete takeover of the Iraqi government by Iran, essentially, because the Iranians are basically extorting. Or blackmailing, whatever you want to put it, the Iraqi people with their basic services. And they're the only ones who seem to be able to provide them. So, the prime minister flew to Basra on Friday to restore calm and announced investment worth $3 billion to the provinces and additional spending on housing, schools, and services. But how much that will actually affect what goes on in Iraq and calm people, and whether that will actually happen, who knows?
Yeah, and the piece that I heard on the radio, it was, I forget what role he was. He was some member of some media organization in Iraq. He said the problem is people are like, what the F? We have all this oil, but we can't have any power. We have no electricity.
Yeah, in the very regions that are producing it. So they see the oil going out.
Yeah, and then like every country in the world that has oil has power except for us. So there's this massive outrage.
Well, they're wrong about that because as we know from the Niger Delta Avengers and others, there are a lot of countries where they have they're very rich in resources, but the people don't benefit from them. But all right, but this is, and the Iraq war is just the gift that keeps on giving. And disaster. The disaster that the Iraq war was continues to plague the poor people of Iraq. What they are going through, they don't deserve it. But all right, so let's move on. We're going to Mexico for our next question. And the question regards the new government there. And what is the question, Irma? As part of new austerity measures, newly elected Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador announced what? Is it A, that he would cut his own salary by 60%? B, that the price of tourist visas will nearly double? C, new taxes on U.S. refineries that annually buy millions of dollars worth of oil stolen from Pemex pipelines? Pemex is the Mexican national oil company. Or D, that from now on Mexico will be sending its rapists and criminals over the border? Do. Do you have your answer at home? We go ahead, Craig. Go ahead. It's okay. Go do whatever you need to do. We're very loosey goosey here.
Yeah. All right.
Poor Craig wants to fix a light, but he feels like he can't.
We can fix it after this question deck.
Okay. So let's figure out what we have our answers. We both say A, Steve and Dave. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is A, that he would cut his own salary by 60%. Very good, gentlemen.
Sweet.
Very impressive. So, Craig, you need to fix something? Go ahead. No, we're not fixing it.
We're
okay.
Good.
The lighting, we all look beautiful. The lighting is perfect. All right. So, AMLO. Is it pronounced? They still call him AMLO. AMLO.
That's the nickname.
Yeah, his nickname. So, he's the new president, and he's a leftist.
He's not the president yet.
Well, he's the new president to be, president-elect, and he's a leftist, and he has there he is, Andres Manuel, and he goes by AMLO, that's why. And so he said he plans to earn less than half of what his predecessor made when he takes office in December. You can go to the first text graphic, Irma. López Obrador said he will take home 108,000 pesos a month, which is $5,707 at current exchange rates, and that no public official will be able to earn more than the president during his 6-year term. The transition team calculates that current Mexican president Enrique Peña Nieto makes 270,000 pesos a month. So it's more than half he's cutting it. And he says he'd like to cut it further, but he doesn't. But he also is making others take pay cuts, so he doesn't want to affect them too much. Go to the next one, Irma, please. He reiterated campaign promises to cut back on taxpayer-funded perks for high-level government officials, such as chauffeurs, bodyguards, and private medical insurance. The official presidential residence will become a cultural center, and ex-presidents will no longer receive pensions, he said. He also, he's not going to have bodyguards. He's not going to have personal protection, which is a real sort of risk. But he's also, he's pledged to do something about widespread corruption. Mexico ranks 135th out of 180 countries in Transparency International's Corruption Perception Index, which means they are the lower the number, the worse you are. So that's pretty bad. And he's going to make public officials disclose their assets. And he's going to consider corruption a serious offense. So we'll see if he follows through on all this. But this reminds me that isn't Trump not taking a salary at all?
I don't remember.
Do you remember? Didn't Trump say he wasn't going to take a salary at all? His 200.
Someone did say that, but I don't know if that was Trump.
Well, either way, do you think, is this just for show, or do you think does it sound like something that's legitimate?
It's a little bit of both. So just another story where I knew he was cutting his salary. I didn't know it was part of this whole austerity measure. I didn't know that would make everyone also have to take a pay cut. It plays well to the population, to the masses. But here's a problem with this. There's a real downside to having public officials not make enough money.
Right.
They're much more open to corruption at that point. Because they don't make enough, so they take a little bit here, take a little bit there, and give away the tax dollars to those who give them favors. I mean, we do that here too, but it makes it more likely, I think, than less.
Yeah, it's a balance that you're striking. And that's what he was talking about when he said that he didn't want to cut it too much and didn't want to cut others. But I think it seems sincere and coming from a good place. And, his tackling corruption in Mexico is a Brobdignagian effort, and we'll see if he's successful or if he's gunned down in the street his first weekend. Maybe shouldn't have foregone the bodyguards, but hopefully we're rooting for you, AMLO, right? We're rooting for AMLO?
Yeah, definitely we're rooting for
definitely.
Him. He might change his mind. He's not going to be present until December. The bodyguard situation maybe that'll change before then.
Yeah. All right, well, I hope he, and I'm sure he would be rooting for both of you also in this quiz, and thank you for getting it right and knowing about him. Let's move on to the next question. Irma, it is from India. And what is the question coming to us from India? Officials have launched an investigation into childcare homes run by the Missionaries of Charity, the organization founded by Mother Teresa, over allegations of what? Is it A, drug trafficking, B, secretly baptizing Hindu orphans, C, selling babies, or D, Russian collusion? It's rampant. Could be D.
It could really be D.
You know, I do give you a G, right? You do have a D in hand, right? Like, if you wanted to answer D, you could. All right, we have answers. We have an answer of C. We have two answers of C. The correct answer is what, Irma? It is C, selling babies. Did you both already know this one, too?
I did.
I knew this.
Did you actually... He did a little.
My knowledge is too powerful. I'm ruining the game. I'm like the Golden State Warriors. I'm ruining it. Too good.
I like the idea. It was more like Georgetown back in the day before they have to install the 24-second clock. Yeah. But it's funny, like you got so frustrated week after week after week of not doing well. And very easy way not to, you know, to do well in this, but you never did it. But now apparently you have. So all right, what's the story here about this? So the India is inspecting and ordered the immediate inspection of all childcare homes run by the Missionaries of Charity, the Catholic congregation established by Mother Teresa. There's one there. This is the one specifically in Jharkhand state because it was shut this month following the arrest of a nun and a social worker employed there. The idea of a nun getting arrested is kind of comical, to be honest. Let's go to the first text graphic, Irma. Sister Kansalia Balsa and social worker Anima Indwar were accused of having already sold three babies from the home, which provides shelter for pregnant unmarried women. They were accused of trying to sell a fourth baby, a two-month-old boy born in March, for about £1,325. The parents, a couple from Uttar Pradesh state, were told the proposed adoption was legitimate and that the money was for hospital expenses. So, this is, in case you don't know, the Missionaries of Charity was established in 1950 by Mother Teresa, who has since been canonized as Saint Teresa of Calcutta. They claim to be horrified and appalled by the baby trafficking claims, and the Bishop of Ranchi said this week that the confession was extracted under pressure, and he accused the police of treating the whole of Mother Teresa's organization as a criminal gang. One of the possible answers referred to is that political leaders in West Bengal state have also claimed the case is part of an anti-Christian agenda pushed by the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, which has a Hindu nationalist ideology. If you don't know what's going on in India right now, there is a lot of violence specifically against Muslims that the government is essentially looking the other way or participating in, and hostility towards Catholics would fit in that because the Hindu nationalists are in ascendancy under Narendra Modi. So we'll go to the next one, Irma, please. Despite a waiting list of about 15,000 parents, only 2,671 adoptions took place between the beginning of 2016 and March this year because the process is notoriously slow, requiring a clearance from a court that can take up to 4 years to be delivered in India's overburdened legal system. The result is a thriving and lucrative hidden market in babies. So, this has been going on. February last year, police arrested the heads of an adoption center who they accused of selling at least 17 children to couples in Europe, the US, and Asia. And so it appears that this is a serious concern in India and that it is sullying certainly the reputation or the legacy of Mother Teresa, although some of us are a little skeppy on her already. So anything else? Anyone comments on India selling babies? All right, let's move on. Question number four. It's neck and neck. You guys collectively are 5 out of 6. That's pretty damn good. This is in Spain. This is an interesting one. I wanted to be curious to see if you get this one right. What is the question, Irma? In response to recent controversies over consent in rape cases, the Spanish government will soon introduce a law stating what? Is it A, that the granting of consent must be spoken? Yes means yes. B, that refusal of consent must be spoken? No means no. C, that consent laws should be determined by the provinces based on, quote, regional, cultural, and social norms. Or D, that in Catalonia it would be illegal to pull out early. And that's a little joke there.
A little geopolitical
humor. Geopolitical humor. Rape jokes are always appreciated. We have our answers. Wait, hang on, Irma. I don't know if they've decided yet.
I got an answer.
We've got answers.
Oh, shit.
We haven't. We have both have answers of A. What is the correct answer, Irma? The correct answer is A, that the granting of consent must be spoken. Steve knew this one too.
No, I did not know this
one. Didn't know this one.
I was a guess.
All right, but you're 4-3. This is unprecedented. Man, I feel like I'm failing. How are you doing at home? So, all right, so what's the story here? Spain's going to introduce a law on consent aimed at removing ambiguity in rape cases. Under the law, consent would have to be explicit. It states that yes means yes, and anything else, including silence, means no, which raises a whole lot of other issues.
This is not going to remove any ambiguity.
Sex without explicit consent would therefore be considered rape. Go to the first text graphic there, Irma, please. The move follows outrage over the verdict in the La Manada Wolfpack case. No relation. Sure. Nothing to do with us. The five men involved were accused of gang raping an 18-year-old woman in Pamplona during the bull running festival, which is a, the whole thing is stupid. But anyway, two of the men filmed the assault during which the woman is silent and passive. The judges interpreted this as consent. One judge even commented that she appeared to be enjoying herself, and the charge was dropped from rape to the lesser crime of sexual assault. My understanding is that if you watch, I had not seen the video, but if you watch it and you think that she appears to be enjoying herself while she's raped by these five guys that she has just met 20 minutes before, that's a generous reading of what's going on. But under Spanish law, rape must involve violence and intimidation, current law. The La Manada ruling provoked outrage and led to demonstrations across the country. The five men are out on bail pending an appeal against their 9-year sentence. But they weren't, they didn't get convicted of rape. But among them are a soldier and a member of the Civil Guard, both of whom have been returned to duty. So the woman who proposed the law, Carmen Calvo Poyato, who's Spain's deputy prime minister and equality minister, which is something we don't have, said if a woman does not expressly say yes, then everything else is no. And we have a text graphic, please, Irma. Patricia Feraldo Cabana, a law professor at the University of A Coruña, who helped draft the law, said the proposal understood consent not just as something verbal, but also tacit, as expressed in body language. It can still be rape, even if the victim doesn't resist, she said. If she is naked, actively taking part and enjoying herself, there is obviously consent. If she's crying, inert like an inflatable doll, and clearly not enjoying herself, then there isn't. So, there's a similar law in Sweden that passed in July, in the beginning of July, so earlier this month. This is a complicated issue, and it seems like it's a very difficult one to solve because the issue of consent, you know, we've been dealing with it on college campuses in the United States, and there was one college, I remember about 10 years ago, that it was Antioch College, which is no longer in existence. They handed out like forms that people would have to sign. They would get consent forms for sex, which seems not super romantic, but it reduces the ambiguity. And we're trying to get rid of the ambiguity, then you have to get an explicit yes. And that's what they're saying in this law. But it seems like that is a tough one to enforce.
Yeah, the part of this that I don't quite get is if you're the kind of person who would rape someone, chances are you would also lie.
Yeah, I see.
So she's totally said yes. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She whispered it. She was like saying yes, like she mouthed the words. Maybe you didn't hear it. You're right over there, but she said it to me, right? Like, it's hard to disprove, no?
Well, there's those type of people who are just rapists.
Right.
And then there's also this gray area of men who pursue a sexual encounter with a woman, and if she doesn't say, explicitly say no, he assumes that she is consenting. And if she's just being passive, and she thinks that she is communicating clearly that I don't want to do this because she's just being limp and lying there without saying anything. But for whatever reason, if she doesn't say no, then he thinks it's yes. And if she doesn't say anything, she thinks that's no. And so that's the gray area they're trying to. I mean, I don't think this is not about, you know,
right,
serious, you know, people were
rapists. Rape, right? Yeah. So you're right that this is more. So to me, it's less a tool for the legal enforcement issue. It's much more of a tool to kind of set cultural norms,
right.
I think. And people are not, okay, you know what? I don't, because people don't, they don't want to be a rapist. I think most men don't want to be rapists, right? So if they say the new culture is you got to get an affirmative yes, not the lack of a no, that puts a higher burden on the guy to or the woman or whoever to get that affirmative consent rather than silence.
Right. Right?
So that's good.
You know, it's a way of moving the culture in a direction to say just, you know, people should communicate better anyway. Yeah. And whether they're going to actually enforce this law particularly.
Yeah, as an enforcement measure, I think it's fairly ineffective, but as a cultural tool, I think it's pretty good. Hopefully,
Dave, any thoughts on the?
No, that's right. No,
there was one part of it where. Can you bring up the last text graphic again, Irma? I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you do this. Go back. It's terrible. Make Edwin's. You know, it's his first day. He's got a thumbs up. He says he can. Yes, there it is. At the bottom there, it says if she's crying, okay, inert like an inflatable doll, okay, and clearly not enjoying herself. Now that's where I draw the line because Okay, no rape jokes. All right, let's move on to question number 5. And where do we go for question number 5? That
is the last question.
Last question.
So I'm guaranteed to not lose.
You're guaranteed to not lose. Awesome. You could have this is the best you've ever done. This could be 5 for 5 if you get this one right. We're all rooting for you, Steve, because we're all here together.
Don't forget that initial question of Scandinavia versus France. I'm not letting it go.
You want to get 6 points on a 5-point quiz. Steve, a lot of people say that he lives up to Asian stereotypes, but I'm you know, as a grade grubber, I don't think so. It's just that's the way he is.
Just here.
All right, question number 5 comes to us from China.
And perfect.
Although this is interesting because I didn't realize this, the China map includes Taiwan. That's a political decision.
Well, this one does.
And this one that I get from Wikimedia, and that's a political decision that I'm sure the people of Taiwan would question. But all right, so speaking of questions, what is the question, Irma? It is this: two pilots with Air China were fired for doing what during a recent passenger flight? Is it A, getting into a fist fight while the plane was on autopilot? B, streaming themselves playing Fortnite from the cockpit on Twitch? C, vaping, which caused their plane to go into an emergency descent? Or D, barrel rolls? What, fired for barrel rolls? Come on, we're just having a good time up here.
I wish it were B, because that would be a really great answer, but I think it's A.
Okay, we have an answer. We have two answers of A. What is the correct answer, Irma? It is C, vaping, which caused their plane to go into an emergency descent. You still won. See, don't think like, oh, I didn't get 5 for 5. That's what I wanted. You got 4 out of 5. That's good.
4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5. There you go. You didn't even need the extra point,
that's
though.
That's right.
You had it for all right. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get it right, but I thought this was an amusing story. So two Chinese pilots have been fired after one of them vaped during a passenger flight, causing an emergency descent due to a sudden loss of cabin pressure. Text graphic Irma. There's Air China. That's not the flight in question, but it is an Air China plane. So,
you think all Chinese planes look alike?
I don't think so.
After you fly on one, you want to fly on another one 10 an hour later. The pilots were flying a Boeing 737 from Hong Kong to the northern Chinese city of Dalian on 10 July when the co-pilot, smoking an e-cigarette, mistakenly turned off the plane's air conditioning unit. He had been trying to turn off a fan so that smoke would not spread to the main cabin. Oxygen levels in the main cabin dropped suddenly, causing oxygen masks to deploy and triggering an emergency descent. According to passengers, the plane dropped to 10,000 feet, which I don't know how the passengers know, before climbing again and landing in Dalian. Okay, so that's the crux of the story. And
I think they might know, because if you drop below 10,000 feet, you lose access to internet. You do in the US.
That's how they knew. Well, I mean, okay, maybe. But and we know that their air, things came out. So none of the passengers or the crew members were injured. But the authorities investigated and determined that the co-pilot had been vaping. Chinese airlines have a good safety record, and smoking regular or e-cigarettes is banned. But passengers accuse pilots of secretly smoking all the time, although a few cases have been proven. Last text graphic, Irma, please. Passengers said they wore the oxygen masks for about 20 minutes before the plane returned to a normal altitude and the flight attendants resumed cabin service. According to local reports, passengers said they applauded when the plane landed in Dalian, which I just love that, because all they know is everything's going fine. Then all of a sudden, the oxygen masks come out. They got to put them on. Everyone's freaking out, I imagine. And then they're told, no, it's okay, you can take them off, everything's fine.
Yeah, you're just relieved that you didn't die in a fiery crash, yeah.
And then later on when you find out it was because the co-pilot was vaping, vape.
The problem was that the co-pilot turned off the air conditioner, not that he was vaping.
Well, yes, but that he was vaping is what led him to turn off the air. I mean, and they're not supposed to vape.
Well, that
anyway.
Morning he put on black socks. That's what led him to vape, which led him to turn off the air conditioner.
The idea of
Dave makes a great point.
Pilots vaping, but vaping pilot, just vaping is so ridiculous anyway. But the side note, I have a daughter who's 16 now, and my wife was reading an article about vaping and teens, and how vaping is very popular among teens. And the article said, if you ask your teen your child, teenage child, if they vape and they say no, they're lying to you because they vape. And we're like, hey, honey, do you vape? And she's like, no. We're like,
liar.
She's a vapor. She must vape.
It's like being accused of a witch.
Yeah.
If you say you are, then you are a witch. If you say no, then we'll just drown you. I mean, if you drown, you're human, but now you're dead.
It's a quintessential lose-lose. Yeah.
Also, when the plane drops to 10,000 feet, there's more oxygen. You're lower in the atmosphere. It's a lot.
Yeah, all you gotta do is open the window. It'd be fine.
Yeah, you make this was it was a comedy of errors, but I do love the idea that they're all applauding them at the end because the guy.
And by the way, 10,000 feet, aren't they in the metric system? I don't believe the story at all.
Yeah. All right, so that's your weekly world news for this week. And we do have time for Totally True or Totally Bullshit. And so let's get to that, shall we?
I miss seeing that. Yeah. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It has a very
every much week. I say, oh, we're gonna get to it. We have it at the end, but then we never do.
It's got a nice '80s vibe to it.
So the way this works, in case you don't know, is I put forward a proposition of some sort, an affirmative proposition, and then we three on the panel decide is that proposition A totally true or B totally bullshit. And this is a sort of a homage to Steve, who tends in his life to declare things that are either totally true or totally bullshit, and. The most important thing to remember about this whole segment is we don't do nuance.
Just like our past president,
just
George
like
Bush.
George Bush. That's a tribute to George Bush, except sometimes we do. So did you guys get, I emailed them to you. Did you get a chance to look at them?
Kind of.
I think so, yeah.
The commitment level is,
I looked at them.
It's a disaster, but we're going to get applauded at the end, so that's all that matters. All right, let's go to the first one. And here it is. Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominees should be eliminated. Totally true or totally bullshit. This is in light of Judge Kavanaugh's nomination. And we're going to have Supreme Court or Senate confirmation hearings will be coming up soon for him. And we will go through that routine. And the question is, they should be eliminated. Totally true or totally bullshit, Steve-O?
Totally bullshit.
Totally bullshit. They should not be eliminated because they are valuable.
No.
Useful.
No.
Fun to watch.
Yes.
Okay.
They can be fun to watch. It's an opportunity to put someone in, you know, at least temporarily a bit of a hot seat and make them justify or defend their past positions. So I think we should keep that. But in terms of it being a useful tool to, figure out who is.
Evaluation. Yeah,
no, it's not evaluation measurement stick at all now. It's comically partisan, and they say the same thing. They're very well coached, so you don't even get that kind of drama that you're looking for. But I think we should still have them for a little bit longer.
All right, totally true or totally bullshit, Dave Kohler?
Well, it's totally bullshit. They should leave them, and we should use them properly, get rid of the partisanship, and actually investigate and inquire and ask questions about the nominee.
Dave Kohler, everybody, hilarious. That's comedy. That's funny. Come on.
Yeah. We should have the government work for our best interests. Yes,
right.
I agree.
I'm going to say totally true because that's why I came up with it, because I think it is totally true. They're entirely performative. I'm saying it's totally true for all the same reasons you said.
Yes.
They are entirely performative. They are devoid of any value. They are jejune. And we get nothing.
Okay, they created this whole thing so you can use the word jejune.
No, I didn't. But it is applicable.
Yeah.
And but it's not the only thing. I think for the most part, a congressional debate should be eliminated. You know, where they stand up and pontificate and so on and so forth. All these things are decided not on the floor. Nobody's persuaded by any of that. There's no reason to have it. It's all performative.
It's theatrics for
theatrics.
The public.
It's to have the appearance of democracy. Mm-hmm. Verisimilitude. There's another one for you. And
jejune.
It's jejune verisimilitude. So I think we should stop lying to ourselves. Why are we gonna wrap up? What are you talking about?
Wrap it up.
I got another 10 minutes.
We should probably wrap it up.
This is baloney.
We should probably wrap it up.
Is this Craig? Is this true?
Apparently,
making us wrap up. Well, anyway, get back to the point. Before we wrap up, the Sarah Huckabee Sanders and those the press conferences, you know, they're pointless, and they're this performative, and the reporters can act like they're really reporters asking tough questions, and that this person is not just lying to us. It's all just bullshit. And I think the sooner one way we can acknowledge it is just to get rid of it and say we're not going to tolerate this anymore. We don't watch the especially the Supreme Court, because everyone is just acting. Everyone is just playing a role. And you say, well, at least they can put them on the spot. They don't. They just say, oh, well, no, I don't. They reveal nothing. Roberts saying he's just going to call balls and strikes. Look, the last hearings that were any good were Clarence Thomas, because there was talk of pubic hair on Coke cans and long dong silver. I mean, how can you top that? We need to get rid of
them. You're right. It's been all downhill since Clarence Thomas.
Well, Harriet Myers, I don't even know if she got the hearings.
She didn't get to the hearings. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was fun, sort of, but yeah. Really? Really? They're kicking us out? They're Jeb Bushing us? I got like 5 more of these. Ugh. Well,
that's super annoying, because we thought we had 8 more minutes, and Dave was needlessly 10 minutes late. So
yeah, this is an hour.
At least I won.
Somebody in management is going to hear about this.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. You can send your angry letters and emails to management@tyt.network.com. I don't think that is an actual email address, but we appreciate your watching. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for tuning into the Friday post game. And as always, stay strong.